This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Let's go to Austin. Austin, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I wanted to read something, if I could, from the Drudge Report to you.
I don't ordinarily like callers to read.
And it's not going to take that long. It's just a paragraph.
Go ahead.
This is from the Drudge Report online. It says, producers of the Oscar-nominated film A Beautiful Mind quietly left out all references to John Nash's anti-Semitic views. Now, that's the guy who is what the movie Beautiful Mind is about.
Right. John Nash apparently hated Jews.
Right. It says, in recent days, as final voting for Oscar approaches, some Academy members are discovering shocking Jew-bashing passages found in the book on which the movie is based. Now, the reason why I called your program, if I could, sir, is to say, I went to see A Beautiful Mind. I watched this movie because it was recommended to me as a beautiful story about a man overcoming odds. I find out this guy Nash was a Jew hater, and I'm there watching this, and my jaw's banging on the floor.
Well, when you go see a movie, what do you think you're going to get out of a movie?
Well, I thought it was going to be a story about a guy who had mental problems or was mentally deranged and kept on being a teacher even though he was mentally deranged. And then I'm reading in a Matt Drudge report that this guy, John Nash, is a Jew hater, and on top of that fact, his wife didn't stick with him, she left him, that he had a kid with another woman, then he left the kid, and that he had a homosexual relationship. This guy, Ron Howard, must think we're stupid, because he don't tell us...
Well, your problem's with Ron Howard.
What's that, sir?
Your problem is with the director?
My problem very much is with the director. Ron Howard don't tell the truth. Out of all the things that I mentioned, the only thing that he left in... was it this guy's mentally deranged?
So you feel cheated by Ron Howard?
Well, what bothers me is everybody thinks this movie's so great. Ron Howard is a lying filth. Everybody thinks he's Hollywood's golden boy, and he is a liar. Now, he's lying. He's been lying since he was... when he misrepresented rural life of that Opie character played on Andy Griffith, because one thing a lot of people don't pick up on is, but was clearly in the Mayberry Show, is Opie was a bastard. That motherless bastard.
All right, hold, sir. Are we talking about Andy Griffith?
We're talking about Ron Howard, the director of A Beautiful Mind, who purposely kept out of his film that John Nash, this mentally deranged teacher, was a Jew hater, was a father of an illegitimate child. And this is from the director of the film, Ron Howard, who, when he was on the Andy Griffith Show, he played the bastard child of the sheriff. That,
well, the thing I remember about the Andy Griffith Show was that
he was a motherless bastard, and we don't even know what happened to the mother, and I don't want to know because I'd like to keep my breakfast down. Now, you want to...
Can I interrupt?
Yes, sir.
Is a bastard, and I hate using that word, but technically, is a bastard a kid that doesn't have a mother?
Well, sir, it doesn't make any difference. He was the bastard's son. He was a motherless... he was a motherless bastard. And the other thing that I think needs to be pointed out, Mr. Hendry, Frances Bouvier, who was the woman who played Aunt B, and he went to visit this actress to see if she wanted to be in the remake of the Mayberry Show, and she told him to get the hell off her property.
All right, so Ron Howard, who is this again?
The actress who played Aunt B.
She didn't appear in the. Are you saying that she didn't want to be in the reunion Mayberry Show because she knows Ron Howard is a liar?
I'll tell you right now, he is a damn liar, because this guy Nash, the guy that they made the movie about, who was a mentally deranged individual, hated Jews, didn't take care of his son. He was as low, and I don't know who's lower, John Nash or the lying, yellow, motherless bastard Ron Howard, who made the movie.
Why are you angry?
Sir,
I'll tell you what, hold on for a minute, because I want to know the answer to that question. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. What's your name, sir?
Mr. Hendry, my name is Austin Amarca.
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Sir, I have a cabinet business in Newhall, California.
You're a cabinet guy.
Yes, sir, I do interior cabinetry work in kitchens and homes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Austin has called and brought up the point, Ron Howard purposefully left out of the movie A Beautiful Mind information that John Nash hated Jews. John Nash, the subject of the film, as portrayed by Russell Crowe. Now, you are extremely angry.
Well, I tell you, Ron Howard is a liar, and I live in Newhall, California. I have a very good cabinetry business, you mentioned. I've been able to take care of myself very, very, very well.
And but why are you so angry about this?
I wanted to tell you, because I know if I had more income, I could have had a wife. I do not have a wife because I can't afford to have a family. And the reason for that was I could have had a very – I was up for the auditions for Happy Days, but they wasn't taking no walk-on people that didn't have no agent. I would have blown the doors off of that motherless bastard Ron Howard that day. They give the job to Ron Howard. And he had just lied his way through 4 years on that Mayberry show, and that lie got the job on Happy Days. That part of Richie Cunningham was written for me.
So you're telling me that you could have been on Happy Days.
I know I would have been on Happy Days. But the point I'm saying is...
And that's why you're angry, isn't it?
I'm angry because Ron Howard got the job on Happy Days. If I'd been an actor, I could have afforded to have a wife. I don't have a wife today. And I don't have children today. Because that liar, he lied his way through Mayberry, lied his way through Happy Days, and now that lying Jew-hater is...
You don't know that Ron Howard hates Jews. John Nash, the subject of the movie...
And why did he keep it out? Why did he keep that information out? If there's one thing I don't like when I go to a movie, is some lying SOB director not giving me the whole story. Why did he keep it out?
I guess they wanted to construct a traditional love story. And I guess the whole thing about John Nash being anti-Semitic, they just wasn't going to work. And the fact that maybe he had a gay affair wasn't going to work. And the fact
he had an illegitimate child that he didn't take care of wasn't going to work. You know, Mr. Ender, I was never readier to be. I would have been a good actor, and I don't want to make this about my acting career, but one of the reasons why I called your program is I see this motherless bastard, Ron Howard.
But let's just, if I may, the motherless bastard you referred to was Opie, not Ron Howard.
Well, the one that he played, yes.
Yeah, the one that didn't have the mother was Opie. Ron Howard has parents.
Well, he played a bastard on that Andy Griffith.
Yes, he did, sir, but that's not Ron Howard. But anyway, getting back to your Hollywood career...
Well, the fact is, if I had been, I could have done that job on Happy Days. I've done Summer Stock and The King and I. I've been in the road production of Butterflies Are Free. And that lion pile...
You were in the road production of what?
I was in the road production of Butterflies Are Free. And while I'm out there, on the boards, humping my ass 7 days a week, 2 shows a day, here's this motherless guy. He's on Happy Days. Now, he's going to get his Oscar from lying instead of putting out a truthful movie with all the Jew-hating, the gay references. And another thing, let me ask you. Is Russell Crowe nuts? He's a homosexual? Is he a Jew hater?
I don't think Russell Crowe is either of those things. He got a job. He played an actor. He played a character. And he did the script that they asked him to do.
Well, guess what? They used his picture on the book. They're using Russell Crowe's picture on the book.
On A Beautiful Mind?
Yes, sir, they are.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. This man, Austin Amarca, says that he could have gotten a job on Happy Days, but Ron Howard got it. He says Ron Howard's lying about John Nash being... John Nash hated Jews. This is the man that the movie A Beautiful Mind is about, and apparently all of the beautiful things they said about him in the film, all of them might not be true. Apparently he had an illegitimate son, he was anti-Semitic, he left his first wife, his wife left him. But this guy is angry because apparently he could have gotten a job on Happy Days, and he says, quote, that motherless bastard Ron Howard got it, end quote. Ron Howard's got a mother. Opie didn't have a mother. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Austin, are you asking that this film, Beautiful Mind, be pulled from the theaters? Is that it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that well, what's going on with this movie is that Howard put a movie on there that ain't about a guy that's mentally it's about a guy that's mentally deranged, but he don't like Jews. I don't think you're going to want any kids seeing that. I don't think anybody's kids should see that.
Do you have kids?
I don't have kids, but that's got nothing to do with it.
Well, look, the movie is a love story.
I don't care if it's a love story. I saw the movie. And,
well, a lot of people have seen it. A lot of people liked it.
But a lot of people ain't seen it yet, too. And I think now's the time to pull this thing out of the movie theaters and to pull it off of consideration for the Academy Award, because Ron Howard is a lying pile. And he lied when he was making it about this guy, John Nash, hating Jews and having an illegitimate kid, and the fact that everything that this movie is about is baloney. And I don't think it's right for people to see it, and so that's why we're asking the distributors to pull A Beautiful Mind.
Well, you're talking about pulling a very popular movie.
I don't care. That guy Ron Howard lied.
And I think you got a personal thing against Howard because he got the Happy Days job.
What's that got to do with it?
Because you made a comment, you were up for Happy Days.
I was perfect for Richie Cunningham, and I've done Butterflies Are Free.
I know you did Butterflies Are Free in the road production. The fact is, you're angry because Ron Howard got the Richie Cunningham job. And yeah, you're right, because the script about this man, John Nash, in the movie A Beautiful Mind, doesn't follow the guy's life.
When they realize they just paid to sit through a movie about a Jew hater and a deadbeat dad, all the people who went and saw that movie, I hope they can look themselves in the mirror, because they just got chumped, and they got chumped big time.
So did you?
Yeah, well, not exactly.
Well, wait a minute. You paid to see A Beautiful Mind, and it was turned out to be about a Jew hater.
Yeah, but I'd already read about it. Okay. But this movie encourages neo-Nazis and deadbeat dads, and the fact...
Now you're really making a leap, man. Okay, first you're telling me that you think the movie was Ron Howard produced a film that prevaricates and that doesn't tell the truth. Now you're saying that the movie ought to be pulled out of the theaters because it's about neo-Nazis and deadbeat dads.
I'm saying I think it encourages neo-Nazis, deadbeat dads, and people to abuse drugs. It's obviously a beautiful companion piece for anything that the KKK ever published.
Are we talking about the same movie?
Yes, sir.
Which one? A Beautiful Mind?
A Beautiful Mind.
So we've gone from this movie being one of the most beautiful love stories ever told to a companion piece for anything the KKK ever published.
I'll tell you right now, I hope they can tell their children, honey, mommy did something horrible. She went to see a movie about a Jew hater and a deadbeat dad, and she cried. Let me tell you a little story, Mr. Enderby, because on our street, we've got a couple of families at the end of the block that told me about this movie. The lady up the street told me that she cried in the movie.
Right.
Okay. Now, just listen to this. She went to see A Beautiful Mind. She said she cried and she felt bad for the guy. And then I told her, oh, you're crying, huh? Well, guess what? It's about a Jew hater and about a guy that's a deadbeat dad. Now how do you feel?
I don't think you should.
Yeah, well, she felt, I tell you right now, I think if people should be more responsible, not go to such propaganda. I went up there, and I told her, you should have been walking out of that movie theater shouting Heil Hitler.
You're walking up to some woman that saw the movie. Well, let me tell you something. I shed a couple of tears when I saw that movie.
How do you feel now? It's about a Jew hater. Yeah, you shedding tears for him now? See, that's the whole thing. And the guy that did it, Richie Cunningham, that lying bastard Opie, and all the people in this company.
I still think the reason why you are upset with this movie has more to do with the fact that you don't like that motherless bastard Opie rather than whether this movie is about a guy who is anti-Semitic. And I'm telling you, for you to go to the end of your street and talk to one of your neighbors and say, hey, did you shed tears in the movie?
She told me she thought it was the most beautiful movie she ever saw. I said, well, then read this. And I gave her the Drudge Report about it being about this goose-stepping Nazi bastard who was probably doing experiments on twins And
oh, come on, man. This is about a guy.
No, I'm telling you right now. How are you going to tell your kids what you did, Mr. Henry?
How am I going to tell my kids what?
You went and saw this beautiful man about this goose-stepping Auschwitz bastard. And the fact that
you got this guy now in the American Nazi Party.
I got him in the... I don't got nothing. I said it.
You got this guy in the Nazi Party because he happened to have some anti-Semitic passages in this book, A Beautiful Mind.
I think, along with the motherless bastard Richie Cunningham and this goose-stepping John Nash, this movie is a propaganda piece, the likes of which we ain't seen since that Triumph of the Will. Now, the Nazis get a hold of something like this.
I don't think there's anybody out there taking any kind of a view on this film like that other than you.
Well, I think you're wrong.
No, I think I'm right. I think you're the only guy out there that sees A Beautiful Mind as a movie about a goose-stepping Nazi. Hold on for a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The news came out on the Drudge Report that John Nash, the man about whom the film A Beautiful Mind was made, apparently was anti-Semitic. In the book A Beautiful Mind, they mention his anti-Semitism. The fact that, for instance, he says, the root of all evil as far as my personal life is concerned are Jews, John Nash wrote in a letter in 1967. He also apparently fathered an illegitimate child or a child out of wedlock. He also was apparently not faithful to his wife, and he was with a woman and then he left her, and a lot of other things here that culminate with this anti-Semitic passage in the book. But the fact that you're taking all of this and...
Mr. Henry, I went to the theater and I showed patrons Holocaust pictures to let them know...
Now you're standing out in front of movie theaters showing them Holocaust pictures.
Why not? That's what this guy's all about. He don't like... I bet the only place this movie does well is in Idaho, where all them, Aryan Nation dudes are. Now I can tell you right now, because this guy hates Jews. I want everybody out there to know that Richie Cunningham and...
The guy's name is Ron Howard.
Well, the guy that beat me out for the Happy Days job don't like Jews because he let this thing go on.
And you can't say that he's the guy that did it.
Well, they kept it out of the movie.
They kept it out of the movie so that they could make themselves a movie that would make some money. They kept it out of the movie so that they could...
So they could sanitize and scrub this metal midget's life.
No, because they needed to get a coherent love story on screen. That's what they needed, a coherent love story, something that had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And
forget about the truth, huh?
That's it. That's Hollywood.
Well, all right. Well, then who's going to say, Nash, you're a Nazi? No.
Hold on for a minute, man. Because if all you're doing here...
I bet the flick's full of subliminal messages about how you can go out and build an oven.
You're out of your mind, you know that.
I'm not nuts. The guy on the movie screen is. But if you want to know how to build an oven, go see A Beautiful Mind.
So one of the most beautiful love stories the world has ever known. Now, this is a place where you'll get a subliminal message on how to build an oven.
That's right.
A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. Go see A Beautiful Mind if you want to know how to build an electrified fence and an oven.
Wow.
Yeah. Want your $8 back now?
That guy is either bring that guy under control, okay?
Red-headed Hitler, Opie Howard.
Pull that guy's visa. 1-800-449-8686. I got the Drudge thing here. Jew-bashing scenes found in the book A Beautiful Mind, The Life of the Genius and Nobel Laureate John Nash, have been completely scrubbed from the film, directed by Ron Howard and starring Russell Crowe, even though actor Crowe's picture is featured on the paperback of the biography. The root of all evil, as far as my personal life is concerned, are Jews, wrote John Nash. That's that character that Russell Crowe plays in A Beautiful Mind. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. I'm back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, let's go to Dean. Dean, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Dean, go ahead, man.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Go ahead.
I think that one of the things we're missing in this discussion about A Beautiful Mind is that Hollywood is very effective in promoting a story if you have the right actor and the right director.
Well, what about this stuff that John Nash, the character in It's a Beautiful Mind, or It's a Beautiful Mind, in A Beautiful Mind, was anti-Semitic?
Well, that's the point that I'm trying to make. I think there's something that you really have to admire the marketing of Hollywood, that they were able to get so many people to buy this as a love story.
So A Beautiful Mind was not a love story?
Oh, no, it's not a love story at all. No, it's obviously it's about a Nazi who left one child unprovided for, had a divorce with another wife, was completely insane, and wandered the halls running his finger between his lips in Princeton for 30 years. And I worked in marketing for many years in the film business, and I don't think I've ever seen a more effective marketing plan.
How? Well, we say it's A Beautiful Mind is effective. They lied about the guy.
Well, but they got people to come into the movie theater and buy it as a love story. And it's a difficult thing because I appreciate the people who come to see our movies. But you also have to kind of laugh behind your back because you know so many of them have been duped. And like I say, I've been in this business so long that I enjoy seeing effective marketing, even if it does sucker a lot of people into spending $750. I mean, we looked at the marketing breakout on A Beautiful Mind, and it was mostly women who were suckered into believing this was a love story. And then, of course, the I don't think you can call them anything else, the stupid men that took them out on dates to see it. And,
oh, boy, this is great, man. Well, I'd like you to know, Dean, you're in marketing?
I'm in the film marketing business, yeah.
All right, well, you'd be happy to know that I was one of the idiots that took my wife to see A Beautiful Mind.
Well, thank you for...
Thanks for what? Thanks for being a sucker?
Well, yeah, I mean, and then you know, the only other thing that we would want, I guess, would be to see Russell win the Academy Award and A Beautiful Mind to win Best Picture.
What do you think the odds are that'll happen?
Oh, I think they're really good. I think the public wants to see this movie win.
Well, this information about this John Nash being anti-Semitic and being a deadbeat dad is going to hurt it.
No, no, it won't at all. No, the Academy will vote for it because they know the people want it.
But, I mean, it'll hurt it in the public's mind.
Well, most people have gone to see the movie. The really stupid ones have gone to see the movie. And there's more stupid people out there who will go see it. I would encourage people to see A Beautiful Mind. It's a beautiful love story. There isn't anything about it that's true. But I know there's a lot of people dumb enough to go and see this movie.
Is this the MO, then, of any Hollywood production? Let's take, for instance, when you take a life of a guy, or you take the true story of a person's life, or you take a true event, you just turn it and twist it and mold it and shape it until it doesn't even resemble the actual story itself, and you put it up on the screen, and you don't care how you've twisted history, just as long as you get a lot of people in the seats.
Well, that's it. The truth is relative, though.
What do you mean, truth is relative?
Well, the truth is, we're Hollywood, and truth is what we want it to be. And truth is what we're going to tell you to watch. You see, Phil, when we tell you to go see a movie... And
you don't tell me to go see a movie.
Yes, we did.
I mean, how did you tell me to go see a movie?
We told you to go see A Beautiful Mind, and you did. Didn't you? Didn't you, Mr. Hendry? Didn't you?
Yes, I went and saw it. Okay.
See? We write truth. We rewrite history. And that's why what we do in Hollywood more than anything else is give you a wonderful, wonderful movie to watch filled with nothing but fabrication and fantasy. We tell you that's the real story. You buy it. You go home. You cry. You tell your friends about it. They go see it.
And you're proud of all of this?
Am I proud of all of this?
Yeah, are you proud of all of this?
I'm not necessarily proud of the fact that we promote neo-fascism with A Beautiful Mind. But by the same token, again, I'm fascinated with how good we are at what we do. And so I guess I wanted to just come on the program and thank everyone listening right now for being and I'm going to use the word, but I don't mean this in any personal sense, for being stupid enough to go see A Beautiful Mind, because it does help us come Oscar time.
But you don't mean anything offensive by that.
I honestly don't, Phil.
No, you just called everybody stupid for going to see A Beautiful Mind, but you're not...
No, I honestly don't mean anything offensive. I'm just saying that when they went into the movie, they were stupid. But maybe in the rest of that...
Maybe in the rest of our lives, maybe in the other movies we see, we won't spend as much money. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Well, I was dumb. I saw the movie. And I shed a tear. 1-800-449-8686. So we're all idiots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
On yesterday's show, Brad Rifkin joined us, and Brad was talking about how his organization, Diet Solutions, doesn't believe that meals should be supersized at fast food restaurants, because when you supersize French fries or a drink, it just tempts him to eat. So when he sees a kid eating supersized fries, he goes up and drops his pants and shows them his fat ass and hopes he can put them off of their food and also show them what supersizing your French fries eventually means a big rear end. Here's Brad from yesterday's show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I have gone as far as having surgery to reduce my weight, and I've battled with my weight for years.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But I would never, ever infringe the rights of someone else to eat what they want to eat. They may not have the metabolism problem that I have. And I think you're just taking an opportunity to be a pervert. That's what I think it is.
People have
aneurysms all the time, who never have weight problems. People have
heart attacks,
stroke.
Why do you call me
my
a
son was the most healthy person in the world. Exercised every day. Had a stroke. 23 years old. Nothing to do with his diet. The only one in the house that ran every morning.
Are you sure? I bet you he was sneaking a supersize behind your back.
He was not sneaking a supersize.
How do you know?
Even if he was, he did not have a weight issue.
Well,
I have a weight issue.
See, that's
and I would never take away the right of someone else to eat what they want to eat. And you're taking an opportunity just to be a pervert.
All right, that right there. Now, why do you call me a pervert?
Because you're a pervert. You're exposing your body, especially to an 11-year-old child. You should have been arrested.
An 11-year-old
child don't need to see that.
I'm showing her how
there's pamphlets. There's other ways to approach people.
I know, but
pass out pamphlets.
If you really want to lose weight, you got to be willing to bend over.
You got to be willing to shut your mouth and get away from the table. You don't expose yourself to children.
Ma'am, I am not exposing.
You should have been arrested.
I am not exposing
myself. You were exposing yourself.
Ma'am,
I don't care.
Ma'am,
I don't care. That's
wrong.
Disgusting.
I think it's wrong of you to characterize what
I'm doing.
I'm
telling you,
I
have a weight issue, and I understand your dilemma.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
But I would never infringe on someone else by exposing myself or taking away their right to eat what they want to eat, because they may not have the same issues you have.
Now let me jump
you
in here.
You need to stay out of McDonald's.
Let me jump in here, Judy. It's Phil Hendry, Brad, and I need to know, why don't you consider that exposing yourself?
It's about showing the kid how fat your butt will get if you keep sucking down supersized 64
ounces.
They
see you in line. They see you every day. They know you're fat.
And your son, God bless him, is he still with us?
And he's still with us, and he's doing great.
All right, ma'am, you should consider that boy lucky, because he was probably sneaking the supersized burritos behind your back.
But the fact of the matter is, he was not fat. He was in health, perfect health, exercised every day.
Yeah, but he inherited
was very conscientious.
Yeah, but he inherited the fat gene from you.
No, he didn't. What he had is a blood vessel burst in his neck. He had
a brainstem
bleed, and he had a stroke. Well, you're trying to say it's going to kill you. There are fat people who are healthy.
I'm saying that he got the fat.
It might kill you because you have an issue.
But it
might not do it to the next person.
You passed your fat down to him.
The kid wasn't fat. She said he was.
We still have a roll of the dice every day. There's a people who are in the hospital every day for the same issue.
But why do I got to stand there and look at some brat sucking down a large supersized taco? If you supersize,
go home and eat. That's what I do on a diet. I don't eat in restaurants. I eat at home. I measure my food. I eat at home. I eat at my desk. I don't go to restaurants.
Have you ever considered how much good you can do for your fellow man
And how
I
much
can pass him a pamphlet. I can give him a videotape.
If you pulled
I can talk to him.
If you pulled your dress up. And
no way.
Oh, come on.
A violation of a Christian individual, first of all.
No, because
and you're
holding
yourself. A child, 11-year-old child.
It's not about sex.
You can justify that for an 11-year-old child who's never seen somebody's body parts.
Right.
And that magnitude of any male figure.
No, I'm not showing him my. I showed him my butt. That's what I'm saying.
But
you can
behind,
show
arm, elbow, whatever it is, you don't expose nothing to a child. Period.
Well,
okay.
I can tell you right now, I was harassed by the local police who said that it was indecent exposure and lewd conduct. But our organization had great attorneys, and we beat the rap.
Have you ever
you
seen
beat
a fucker come in with all that behind crack showing all the time, butt cleavage?
Who's that?
That repulsed me, too.
Who?
But
who is?
He can't, but that's his issue. Who he has a butt cleavage everywhere. Nobody wants to see it, but no one voluntarily shows it.
Yeah, but when
that's
you see that, when you see that guy's butt crack, you remind yourself
that
not
that doesn't change me from eating what I want to eat. That doesn't change my mind in the least. That makes me think that man needs a belt.
That man needs a belt, okay?
And good luck to you on your diet,
it would change your mind if you realize that that's what other people are seeing when you bend over.
Bill Hendricks. Flashback.
Yeah, those supersized meals, I got to tell you. I've been, well, forget it. I'm back on Weight Watchers, by the way, myself, just so you guys, I hadn't talked about this for about a year. The last time I was on Weight Watchers was a year ago. And I lost 40 pounds, and then this past summer, of course, I put a few pounds on. Not 40, I put on, let's see, I got down to 226, and I put it back to about 245. So I put almost 20 pounds back on. So, you know, I'm back on a diet now. I'm eating sensibly, and I'm taking Geritol, Midol, you know, I'm really watching my figure. All that baloney. And I ain't going to know. You know what happens? When I got married, I started eating really good food. So what happens if your wife cooks and cooks halfway decently, you eat good quality food. And for the first time in my life, I was eating decent food. For the first time since I was a kid, I was eating food that actually had nutritional content, vitamins, iron, minerals, actual food that would fortify the blood and make me, you know, make me healthy. For the first time since I was 12, I was eating something that didn't first start out in a garbage can. And I'm joking. But anyway, so then one day after I was married, I guess about 6 months, 8 months, you eat that really good food. I go, driving by McDonald's on my way into work. Wow. Man, I could sure use one of them QPs with cheese. I could sure dig a little QP with cheese. So I pull in, got myself a couple of quarter pounders with cheese. Then I got that supersized fry, two-fisted a 64-ounce Mountain Dew. I had this on my way into work, and I don't want to get graphic, but I will tell you that, well, what is that, Imodium D? Imodium AD came in real handy. That's what happens when you're eating all that solid stuff and all of a sudden, well, it ain't coming out solid no more. You'd really good food and then you'd start to eat some garbage. And, oh, baby. All right, now the guy down there, speaking of eating, and I know a lot of you are having dinner right now, let's talk about the crematorium in Georgia. Oh, man, this is great. They filed 56 additional charges. The guy's latest excuse is, well, the furnace wasn't working. Well, yes, it is working. 56 additional charges have been filed against the crematory operator accused of discarding hundreds of corpses he was paid to cremate. New charges bring to 174 the number of, quote, theft by deception counts against Ray Brent Marsh. How much time are you going to get with 174 counts of theft by, is this a felony or is it a misdemeanor? It sounds to me like it's a misdemeanor, doesn't it? It doesn't say anything about desecrating a corpse or anything that might carry some sort of a heavy penalty. This guy's got 174 misdemeanor counts. It's basically a lot of parking tickets. He parked a corpse in the wrong spot. So far, 339 rotting corpses have been discovered dumped in pits, left in sheds, stacked in vaults, shoved under beds, stuck under cars, shoved under abandoned automobiles. You know what this guy's going to get after they nail him for 174 counts of theft by deception? Freeway cleanup. He's going to get 2 weeks of freeway cleanup. I bet you this cat doesn't get anything heavier than what Zsa Zsa got when she belted that cop. And I'm not saying that he should. See, I tend to be very liberal in terms of the punishment of this crematory guy. All right, so he's a little ADD. Okay, so he's got a little bit of that ADHD. He don't know. You know, his organizational skills are bad. Maybe he needs an educational therapist. Maybe he forgets where he put his driver's license, his passport. He's one of those guys. In other words, he's just like me. In other words, if you want to see Phil Hendry and what would have happened to me were I running a crematorium, take a look in today's newspaper and just color me a little darker. I'm telling you, I'd do the same. I would forget how to turn it on. Oh, man. Ain't no good. Authorities continued Tuesday to drain a small lake nearby where a skull and a torso were discovered. Wow. All I say is thank God this guy didn't kill any of these people. He just dumped them in the lake. And if you got a lake nearby, might as well just start throwing bodies in it. Man, I don't know what the hell I'm... Don't you understand? You gotta burn them, man! I'm lazy. Let's just throw them in a lake and we'll go watch the ball game. All right. Authorities said they'll probably spend more than a week dredging the dry lake bed for human remains. The charges accuse Marsh of allegedly taking payment to cremate the dead and instead passing off cement powder and dirt as ashes. Are you telling me this guy just grabbed a handful of dirt and threw it in a jar and gave it to these people? Here it is. Thank you. There you go. A sandbox? You mean he went down to the quarry, went over there to the Home Depot and got some crushed brick? He goes out back, puts some dirt in the jar. Here it is. Can I look? Sure, go ahead. Wow, it looks like dirt, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It's kind of amazing that way. It looks like brown dirt. Yep. Is that what it looks like? Yeah. Isn't that funny? I was saying that to Eddie, the guy that runs the cream. I said, look at it. It all looks like dirt. He goes, yeah. See? You know who's running that crematorium? Urkel. Okay, so authorities said they'll probably spend more than a week dredging the thing. Investigators have said Marsh told them the incinerator was broken. Doesn't this sound like a guy who is stuck at about the age of 11? In other words, doesn't it sound like a guy who smokes a lot of pot? Because that's what you did when you were a kid. Well, what are you doing? It's broken. What is? The toilet. That's why you're crapping on the floor? Yes. You're crapping on the floor because the toilet's broken. Yes. Well, why didn't you come and tell somebody? I don't know. It's broken. But on Monday, authorities disclosed for the first time the incinerator is working properly. In another disclosure, prosecutor Buzz Franklin said investigators had discovered photos of decomposed bodies on Marsh's office computer. Maybe this guy's like into living with the dead or something. We are the dead. Maybe that's it. Now he's giving me the creeps. Although, that ain't actually illegal either, is it? Hey, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Check out our website, 30-day archive, listen live, audio archives, webcast archives, special feature, guess the celebrity ass. It's all there, and it's only $6.95 a month. That's $6.95 a month for all of the audio you can possibly stand from the Phil Hendry Show for the price of a pack of smokes in that Mickey's Wide Mouth. And we're not necessarily telling you to give up smoking or drinking. We're just saying you're going to have to find another $6.95 someplace. So check it out on the PhilHendryShow.com website.